We continue to worship God as we share as a congregation this morning in the Christian baptism of Emma Lucy Baker. Let's sing to God's praise, our children, Lord, in faith and prayer, we now devote to Thee. After His resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ gave this command to His disciples. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What is Christian baptism? And why is Christian baptism so significant in the New Testament? Let me say three simple things about Christian baptism. Number one, Christian baptism signifies and celebrates the Christian believer's union with the triune God. This is very manifestly uppermost in the mind of our Lord Jesus. Go, he says, make disciples, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In baptism, God places his name upon us. It's a family sign. It's the sign of our family belonging to God. And we signify that and celebrate that in Christian baptism. Secondly, Christian baptism signifies and celebrates the Christian believer's cleansing from sin. We use the agent of cleansing, water, and it signifies and points us towards the atoning blood of Jesus Christ that washes us clean from our sin. The water of baptism doesn't cleanse us from sin. Only the atoning blood of Jesus Christ does that. But the water of baptism points us towards that cleansing that only Jesus Christ can give to us. In baptism, we testify to the world that we need the cleansing that God has provided in His Son and only in His Son, Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, Christian baptism signifies and celebrates the Christian's submission to Christ's lordship. Baptism was a common event in the ancient world. Roman soldiers, for example, were baptized into their new profession, and their baptism signified they were coming under the lordship of Caesar. For the Christian, baptism signifies us coming under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Our baptism is to testify that we are people who live under the Word of God, under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And if we are not living under the Word of God and under the saving lordship of Jesus Christ, we are denying our baptism and giving the lie to what our baptism signifies. It may be worth for a moment just asking this further question. Why do the churches of the Reformation, that great movement of God in the middle decades of the 16th century, why do all the churches of the Reformation baptize the infants of believers? Well, we don't do it out of sentiment. We don't do it out of tradition. We don't do it because John Calvin did it, and all the Reformers and all the Puritans, though they did. Why then do we baptize uncomprehending children? For one simple reason, out of obedience to the Word of God. Let me explain in a moment what I mean. When God entered into covenant with Abraham, which the New Testament calls the Gospel, in Genesis 17, he says to Abraham, I will be your God and you will be my people. And the sign of that covenant relationship will be circumcision. You will be circumcised, Abraham, and you will take your male children 8 days old and circumcise them. Now, why? Why would God want the sign of his covenant to be in the flesh of Abraham's uncomprehending children? You may think, well, it was to identify them racially. Wrong. That's not what the Bible teaches. In his letter to the Romans, Paul tells us that circumcision was a sign and seal, or perhaps better, a signing seal of the righteousness that is by faith. It wasn't a bare racial badge, it was a profound spiritual sign. It was a signing seal of the righteousness that is by faith. It wasn't a sign and seal of faith. That would be to make man the center. It's a sign and seal of the righteousness, that is, of God's movement of grace and mercy to sinners. And God is pleased to embrace helpless infants in his covenant in order to placard the fact that he is a God of grace who deals with us, not on the basis of our merit, but on the basis of his own free, unfettered goodness and mercy. When we could deserve nothing, he acted for us in Jesus Christ. The church is no longer bound up with Israel in a nation state. Baptism is now the great signing seal of belonging to God's covenant. And so when Jesus blessed the little children, Mark chapter 10, he said, suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not. Why? For of such is the kingdom of God. He didn't mean, and the Greek doesn't mean, let them come to me because they are pictures of the helplessness that I look for in order to give my salvation. That would turn the gospel on its head anyway. The text actually says, let them come to me for the blessing of God, because the kingdom belongs to them. They're the children of the covenant. The kingdom belongs to them. Christian salvation does not begin with my choice of God. It begins with God's choice of me. And yet we know that without faith it's impossible to please God. We know that unless a man and woman is born again, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The sign of the covenant was never of itself a sure sign of salvation. Belonging to the covenant people of God does not mean we do not need the saving righteousness of Jesus Christ. But it means that God has come to us to make us his own. He set his name upon us. The promises belong to us. And the choice we then have is either to be covenant keepers who embrace Jesus Christ, the covenant Savior, or covenant disobeyers who refuse Jesus Christ, the covenant Savior. It's against this background that the Bible exhorts and encourages Christian parents to love their children, to cherish their children, and to raise up their children in the nurture and admonition of Christ. This is Anthony and Liz's desire, that Emma should be raised in a home where she will know from her first cognizant moments that Jesus Christ is Lord, the only Savior of sinners, the one to whom we all must flee, lest we find ourselves on the last day cast into eternal darkness.